The maple trees stand sentinel in the Canadian wilderness, a silent witness to the unfolding of time. In 1912, a disgraced aristocrat stumbles upon it and experiences something impossible. In 2020, a young woman films it before her mysterious disappearance. In 2203, a novelist writes about it in a pandemic narrative that becomes eerily prophetic. In 2401, a time traveler investigates these incidents, discovering they're all connected by inexplicable moments when reality itself seems to fracture. These temporal anomalies form the heart of Sea of Tranquility, a mesmerizing exploration of time, simulation theory, and what it means to be human in a universe where reality itself may be an illusion. Edwin St. John St. Andrew is exiled to Canada in 1912 after expressing anti-colonial views at a family dinner. As an Earl's third son without inheritance, he wanders across the country until reaching Cayette, a tiny settlement on Vancouver Island's northern coast. Between forest and sea, Edwin grows increasingly uncomfortable with his colonial presence on Indigenous land. One September morning, Edwin ventures into the forest despite his fears. In a cathedral-like clearing beneath a massive maple tree, he experiences something inexplicable: a flash of darkness, violin music, the impression of being in a vast interior space resembling a train station. This rupture in reality sends him fleeing to the beach, where he encounters a priest who mysteriously appears and disappears, deepening the sense that something extraordinary has occurred. What if boundaries between past, present, and future aren't as solid as we believe? Edwin's experience, a moment when time seems to fold, becomes the first documented instance of an anomaly that will connect lives across centuries in ways that defy conventional understanding. A century after Vincent's time, Mirella Kessler attends a Brooklyn screening of footage by the late Vincent Smith. The video shows Vincent approaching an ancient maple before dissolving into blackness filled with whispers and static. For Mirella, this reopens wounds. Vincent's husband Jonathan's Ponzi scheme destroyed many lives, including her husband Faisal's, who later committed suicide. After the show, she meets Gaspari, a peculiarly formal investigator. Their conversation turns unsettling when Mirella recognizes him, impossibly unchanged, from a childhood encounter decades earlier. By 2203, humanity has moon colonies, yet remains vulnerable to disease. Author Olive Llewellyn tours with her pandemic novel Marienbad as a real virus emerges in Australia. During her tour, Olive experiences a disorienting moment at an airship terminal, briefly finding herself in a forest, a scene mirroring her own novel. Reality blurs when she meets Gaspari Jacques Roberts, whose name appears in her book. He warns her about the pandemic and urges her to return home. She does, narrowly escaping travel restrictions. During lockdown, she discovers Gaspari is a time traveler who intervened against protocol. She was meant to die, but he saved her life. In 2401, Gaspari Jacques Roberts works as a hotel detective at the Grand Luna Hotel on Colony 2, a terminally boring job despite its fancy title. His life changes when his sister Zoe, a Time Institute researcher, reveals evidence linking temporal anomalies across centuries. Despite warnings about time travel's dangers, Gaspari volunteers for the mission, drawn by genuine interest for the first time in his life. After 5 years of training, Gaspari interviews witnesses across time: Edwin in 1912, Vincent and her brother in 2020, and Olive during her 2023 book tour. Moral complexity emerges when he warns Olive about the coming pandemic, violating Institute protocol through an act of compassion. When Gaspari witnesses the anomaly in 1994, seeing young Vincent film the maple tree as reality fractures, he grasps the gravity of his discovery. His intervention to save Olive has already challenged the Institute's timeline preservation rules. What happens when institutional rules conflict with human compassion? The Time Institute safeguards the integrity of our timeline, but Gaspari questions whether their purpose is merely self-preservation. Faced with choosing between protocol and preventing suffering, he chooses humanity. Gasperi defies Time Institute protocols by warning Olive and making unauthorized trips, visiting Edwin in 1918 to confirm his sanity and Vincent in 2007 to verify her anomaly experience. Each intervention prioritizes human compassion over timeline preservation. Upon return, security forces arrest him. His punishment? Being framed for murder in 20th century Ohio, creating the incident Morella witnessed as a child and completing a causal loop. Trapped in the wrong century, Gasperi finds unexpected peace in prison, drawing comfort from glimpses of the moon and knowing his choices saved lives. Years later, his sister Zoe appears, disguised as a nurse, rescuing him to a farmhouse in 2172 Oklahoma City. He marries Talia, another former Time Institute employee, and builds a quiet life. After her death, Gasperi moves to the city with his dog, playing violin in the airship terminal, the same music Edwin heard in 1912. Our choices ripple through time in ways we cannot comprehend. Gasperi's compassion cost him everything, yet created connections across centuries, a temporal web defying linear understanding. Gasperi experiences his final revelation when he observes his younger self approaching for an interview as Olive passes by. The air ripples, the simulation struggling to reconcile multiple versions of him existing simultaneously. He realizes he himself triggered the anomaly. His presence created the very temporal disturbances he was investigating. This discovery aligns with Time Institute researchers' suspicions about living in a simulation. Time travel functions too smoothly, with fewer paradoxes than expected, and timelines that mysteriously repair themselves. The anomalies represent moments when the simulation struggles to maintain coherence. Yet Gasperi concludes what the Institute never understood. If definitive proof emerges that we're living in a simulation, the correct response to that news will be, so what? A life lived in a simulation is still a life. Despite his reality's potentially artificial nature, he finds meaning in human connection and the quiet moments that constitute existence. Throughout the novel, characters face profound disruptions to their reality. Edwin confronts colonialism in the wilderness. Olive writes pandemic fiction before experiencing one. Gasperi discovers reality might be a simulation. Yet these revelations don't diminish their humanity, but enhance it, making each moment more precious through its fragility. The novel suggests that whether in base reality or simulation, whether time flows linearly or loops back, our connections remain our primary source of meaning. Olive reflects that post-apocalyptic stories appeal not for their disasters, but for what follows, a world distilled to what truly matters. Nothing lasts, not stars, lives, civilizations, or perhaps reality itself. But within this impermanence lies our existence's value. The maple tree in Kayet will fall, moon colonies will be abandoned, the simulation might end. Yet the connections we forge create patterns of meaning that transcend our perspective, rippling outward in ways that make our brief existence worthwhile.